This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app today and join myself, Adam Armbrecht, and co-host Doug Norrie this Thursday night at 6 p.m. as we talk all things Brooklyn Nets basketball. And we've got a great show coming up for you where you know what the beats are going to be. It's the NBA Finals. Giannis wins the championship. CP3 does not get to the mountaintop. But how did these two teams get to this point? Specifically, how did Milwaukee overcome the perception of a franchise and a player that was never going to finally achieve the ultimate goal? We break it all down and cap things off with a delightful little story about the foibles of life from Doug Norrie. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Brooklyn, yo.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets every single day. I'm Doug Norrie, owner, operator, DFSR.com. If you need some projections, well, no, not anymore for NBA, but if you want them for other sports like MLB, NFL, right around the corner, got you covered for FanDuel and DraftKings. And that's Adam Armbrecht, the voice of the Brooklyn Nets on Sportscaster, also the host of the One Giant podcast, where he and his boy, Andy Mack, are breaking down the New York Football Giants' upcoming season. Buddy, how are we doing with the Bucks winning the championship?
That's what it is, man. It was a great NBA Finals. We've talked about it along the way. A lot of people had expectations or a lack of expectations because of which teams were involved. This is a great series. It went six games, and we end up crowning a champion, and a young superstar in the league, Giannis, now has one.
Yeah, Giannis Antetokounmpo. My goodness, buddy. I mean, like, I'm almost at a loss for words, and I think I actually would have been a loss for words because we texted each other on Tuesday evening while the game was wrapping up, which is pretty late, around midnight Eastern time, talking about whether we wanted to just record the podcast right following the game, you know, get back into the old days of, you know, right when the Nets game's finished, let's jump on the microphone and let's talk about it, because it did have the feel of that kind of following the Bucks win. Actually, the reason I think, at least for me, that I kind of shied away from it, or not even shied away from it, that I didn't want to, is because I was actually just kind of having fun watching the Bucks celebrate. Like it was, and I know that's going to be weird from a Nets podcast, because, you know, we're a team-oriented podcast, and our first and foremost want in the world right now, for basketball purposes, is for the Nets to win, and that didn't happen here. And then I kind of feel like, if for me, and I guess we talked about it after the Nets series, for me, I was like, well, if the Nets aren't going to win, I wouldn't mind losing to the team that eventually wins the championship. Okay, mission accomplished. Yep. There, I guess the Bucks win, and for just to be a good series, I think we can say that that was the case, and for Giannis to kind of pull this off, because as much as I've been a Chris Paul kind of defender, and I think we can still defend them even after the series. The Giannis piece where he kind of gets dragged, or has gotten dragged for a long time about, you know, can't win at all. This game isn't made to, you know, be a champion. Kendrick Perkins called him a Robin. It's looking like the biggest clown take of all time now. But the part where Giannis comes out, and we'll get to his background and story here in a little bit too, but where he comes out and is just fully dominant, I kind of just wanted to watch that, I don't know, take shape at the end of the, or, you know, in the post game, watch the fans react. There's so many pieces of this that I'm going to sound like I'm gushing here a little bit. I'm not. It's just a very, very cool story.
No, and I think, I mean, Giannis and the Bucks, and there's players there, you know, Holiday and Middleton, who's been there with Giannis, right? So it's an accomplishment for him too. By the way, former Brooklyn Net, Brooke Lopez gets a ring as well here. Like, it is a fantastic story. I also think that if it had been the Suns, if it had been two different teams, whatever it is, to your point about when it comes down to the conclusion of a finals and you do see the elation that these players have about winning a championship, it is nice just to sit back and watch it. And I think whether you are, or as we are, Brooklyn Nets fans or covering a specific team, you have to just have the appreciation for what any of these players are accomplishing inside of that moment. And it was big specifically for Giannis in a lot of different ways. It was big for probably a handful of these players on this specific roster. And it was nice. It's nice to sit back and just see the ear-to-ear smiles and, you know, guys running around on a basketball court as if they won an NBA championship or like they did back in youth basketball in middle school, right? Like, it has that same type of feeling and energy, and that's nice just to absorb without any necessity to analyze or contextualize it beyond that moment.
Yeah, and I'm going to get a couple of his stats here from the series here in a little bit, but it's also worth noting, too, that, like, you know, Milwaukee gets lumped into that small market sort of context that some of these teams do. And I guess, you know, in terms of overall population, they are a smaller market and not a free agent destination. And, you know, it's always going to be a little more difficult for them than the New Yorks or even Brooklyns of the world to sign, to sign non-homegrown talent or guys that they just like, you know, like Jrue Holiday that they were able to acquire in a trade and just sort of convince them that the team and the culture, you love that word, Nets fans, the culture was good enough to, you know, warrant a long-term deal. But then you look, I will say, it didn't look so small market when there's 65,000 people just piled outside the stadium, like in just an absolute yep. sea of people that looks like it's like a presidential inauguration or something like that, like where it's just the camera simply can't, the helicopter or blimp can't get high enough to get all the people into the picture at once, or just like the ground one looks like the picture's rendering all along the edges with just more and more people just piled in. It really didn't look small market when you just see, I was watching with a buddy and he was like, is this the entire population of Milwaukee? Like, just neither of us are like, we're all that clued into actually how many people lived in the city, which is, that's my bad. But like, it just looked, I mean, that was the other part of it for me too, was watching this fan base. Oh, by the way, at the end of this, I got to tell you a funny story, and it makes me look really bad. So just, and I know you, so make a note, because I know you're going to want to, this is not something you'll forget, but I got something I debated about whether I would tell anybody about, but I'll save it for the end of the podcast about it. It's embarrassing for me. So you see this crowd, and you're kind of like, man, it would also be a bummer to send from a sports perspective. It would be a real bummer to send these 65,000 people or whatever the number was home disappointed rather than just, you know, like that kind of felt for me after a certain point where I was
slow,
like
the slow dissipation of the crowd.
Oh, it'd be the most anticlimactic thing ever.
Drifting away from the arena.
Right. Yeah. Like it would be one of the all time biggest sports bummers to send. I mean, that's got to be one of the biggest crowds ever to watch an outdoor event, right? From a sporting event. I don't know what the other comparisons are like, but that's got to be one of them. So I think from that perspective, I was kind of, I don't know, I landed on Team Bucks about, you know, very probably pretty early in the game.
Yeah, no, it was fabulous. And you mentioned wanting it to be the team that you lose to go on to win it. I think in a series like this, not unlike the Nets versus the Bucks, though injuries obviously for our squad, but when a team goes down 0-2, we talked about it early in the finals here, you start to say, boy, we know what the percentages tell you. This is unlikely. You come back and you tie it up 2-2. You say, all right, you're back on even footing, but you're going to win. You still got to win two out of the next three. And then when you get to the third game, like the sense of momentum building, I think also makes, at least for me, makes it easier to start to root for this team, because they literally had to come from the worst possible scenario outside of 3-0, being down 3-0 in the finals, to have to win it. So it's like you're checking every single one of these boxes along the way. And it did give me the thought that, you know, we talked about from afar and during even the Nets series, this team, the Milwaukee Bucks, this coach, right? Coach Bud is a guy that we troll and a guy that we drag. And I'm not saying that just because you win the championship, it, you know, takes away any of the stain on your coaching performance over the course of seasons or finals or playoff runs. And yet, when you are the coach of a team that does go through series and finds yourself down 0-2 multiple times in the postseason playoffs and manages to come back and win and ultimately win a championship, there's something there. There's maybe something to that sense of, in this version of the Milwaukee Bucks, staying the course, and he made adjustments, but staying the course was the right thing to do. Not overreacting was the right thing to do. And you may not have gotten that sense in the early games of any of these series. But by the end of it, you look back and you say, oh, okay, This is what it was. And it required Giannis to be the Giannis that we anticipated him being, right? That was the key piece. When Bud drew it up, he said, Giannis, you'll be Giannis, and then we'll do the other things around you. But it's interesting how those, we've talked about narratives and storylines, all of a sudden, this now playoff run looks different than it did along the way. And the questions that were being asked, they were reasonable at the time, and yet, you have to say they got answered. They got answered in the most resounding way possible. Looks like we ended up winning a championship. So the results, right? That's what determines whether or not this was a success. It was a success for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, I mean, 100%. And the stories are great too. Like some of these storylines, we'll get to a couple of these in a second, are just, if you're a sports fan, you can't, you just have to be, if you don't root for these things, I just don't know what to tell you. Okay, this episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans, totally free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, insiders in real time about your favorite team, the Brooklyn Nets, or sport, the NBA. We will be hosting a room for Locked On Nets fans and folks on Thursday at 6 p.m., so come join us. Had a nice little turnout last time, so hope to see everyone there again. Green Room is a perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll have a chance to chat with us, maybe even featured on the show. You get called up. We've had great conversations in the past. Green Room is just a great app for jumping in and talking hoops. Join us 6 p.m. on Thursday, where we'll be jumping in there. Go and download the Green Room app. It's currently available on all iOS devices. You create a profile, link your Twitter, join and follow us at Locked On Nets. You won't want to miss it. 6 p.m. Thursday, Green Room, changing the way we talk about sports.
So there are a lot of storylines here, but let's stay on the main name from this series, the main name in the NBA, Giannis. There's more than just finally winning a championship at 26 years old that makes him such a likable, right? A very likable story.
Oh my God. it's likable is not even the word. It's like so close to maybe having been tragic and it's not. And it's like this true story of grit and grind. And I'm not going to go into the whole thing. And frankly, I don't know the entire story, but I know enough about it to know, look, the guy grew up, he's from Nigeria, but his family moved to Greece, but they kind of got caught in this like weird in between about citizenship. So it was really, they had a really hard time. Like they were poor. I don't know another way to put it. And I've read stories where like food wasn't even a guarantee at times. Like, I don't think they were starving, but I don't think they were, like, I don't think it was not easy. And they couldn't find, you know, his parents had trouble finding work. He and his brothers had to kind of find work. There's a story about where they didn't have enough money and they only had one pair of shoes. So he and Thanasis, who's actually on the team, the Bucks had to like swap shoes for games. Like, only one would be able to play in a game at a time when they were playing hoops. You know, I can probably source that, but I read that somewhere. So it's like these kinds of stories for these guys. And he's like this super skinny dude that no one really knew about. He's playing in these Greek leagues against adults, but it looks weird because he's like rail thin. And I'm sure if you watched the game last night, you saw the before and after pictures of when he got drafted to when what he is now, which is like, I mean, he's an absolute beast, obviously, now. But when he got drafted, he was a rail thin, skinny, total project.
He's taking his vitamins.
And the stories about him. Yeah, the stories about him were that they had to effectively lock the gym. They probably talked about this in the podcast, the broadcast last night. Sometimes I kind of tune this out, but they effectively had to lock the gym for him because he was overworking himself. But he's put on a massive amount of muscle mass, and the overwork piece would go into games too, where people were like, you don't play him the. You know, they're only playing 34 minutes a game. Like, what's going on? These are big games. They're like, yeah, he gets too exhausted. he gets too exhausted during games because he overworks himself. He doesn't pace himself during games. So they just have to give him rest because he doesn't know how to kind of calm down and get into a flow a little bit. He's obviously gotten much better about this over time. But these are the things that were sort of happening for him for a long time. So this is all to say, if you're looking for people to root for, and if you're looking for people to just kind of give compliments to or find superlatives to say about a guy or why someone should, like, I'm putting the word deserves. No one deserves or doesn't deserve anything. But if you want to figure out a way to make it so that someone deserves a championship, like, Giannis is that story. The story checks every single box when it comes to sort of like storybook ending for the championship. And he recognizes it. It's obviously that everyone else recognizes it. So anyway, that's the end of my my Giannis love fest here, but
it's
one of these things. Like you just can't help but root for this.
Yeah,
guy.
It's faith rewarded, right? I mean, this is a guy that had to have a long journey to get to this point that he was at, and then you know, there's a couple of just quick things about that you know, once you make it to the NBA and once you're in the mix and once you're considered one of the best players, and we talked about this, right? National narratives, all of a sudden it's about, well, where does he rank? It was already out there on social media last night. If Giannis wins this, where does he rank? Top 10, top 15, top 25 all time? And it's, in some regards, like, well, who gives a expletive about it, right? Like, this is a guy accomplishing something. And at just 26 years old, let's contextualize it that, yes, he won an NBA championship, but this is probably the culmination of an entire life journey in that regard. It's probably, again, faith rewarded in staying with the Milwaukee Bucks and wanting to be that part of that organization. It's one of the pieces that maybe makes him a more unique superstar personality that sometimes people are going to analyze in a negative way when it's just, man, you don't know where this guy has come from, or you do. So think about it from that standpoint. Even now, today, in this moment, Giannis has a lot on his mind, right? He has family, and he has an experience and a life experience that few people can actually relate to, and he's managed to, you know, crest the top of his field, of his sport, of his profession. It's an impressive thing. So I don't want it to be a gush fest, but I also, as I've gotten older, I'm a big fan of being happy about happy things. This is a really happy thing, so it's awesome. And I'm fine to be a total Nets guy that is absolutely ecstatic that Giannis and the Bucks won this championship.
Yeah, and just obviously, and just in terms of stats, because if you're looking for the storybook piece of that, Kurt Goldsberry tweeted out during the game that Giannis was only the second player of all time to have 40 plus points and 10 plus rebound games in a championship finals, except for Shaq. So those are the two guys. He's a Shaq that can get into transition. I mean, the numbers are unassailable. They're unbelievable. He saved his best for last in terms of last game. Suddenly figured out how to shoot free throws again. 17 for 19, which is like, if you're the Suns, you're like, come on. Like,
he was just joking.
Like,
he was messing around.
Like, come on, what's going on here? Like, now you're just gonna turn in to like Steph Curry from the free throw line too. Like, I don't know. Like, what are we supposed to do here? And so it's just, and that really does become sort of the thing with him is like at some point, and the Nets kind of saw this to some degree too. Is that he's just a very, very difficult guy to guard, and at some point, you know, if he's gonna make all his free throws and get out of the transition, and you know, just block everything. He kind of just said, you know, last night, I mean, he had a block on Ayton that I suspect was the first time this has ever happened to DeAndre Ayton, probably in his life, who's like, DeAndre Ayton's like 7'1", and Giannis had a block on him that was like basically a volleyball spike. right. He blocked him down into the ball landed in the lane. Like, I was like, that has to be the first time that ever happened to Ayton, literally in his entire life. the guy has always been the biggest dude. So anyway, that's the end of my Giannis thing, or maybe our Giannis thing. But yeah, I just, I'm still smiling. I'm still smiling now thinking about some of this stuff.
No, and it's great. It really is. And we're going to get to, obviously, the other side of this and the Phoenix Suns. And I have some curiosities and questions for you around CP3, but just as the footnote, but in addition to Giannis on this Bucks squad, it's funny too, like this does become validation when you talk about Milwaukee and what they chose to do going and getting Jrue Holiday, right? Like if you didn't make it to the finals, there was probably, we talked about this, how far do they have to get to say, well, this is working, it's worth it, early in the playoffs when you said, well, if you get bounced out in the first or second round, good Lord, you may strip this thing down. Could be see you later head coach. Could be let's move some of these pieces that we have here. And for a guy like Holiday, and Middleton, I almost think it's like matter of fact. We've always had this sense that he's a guy that can come up big when you need him. And he proved that. He's proven that in the past as well. It's why some people wanted to call Giannis a Robin like idiots. But Holiday's piece is pretty crucial too. Because you wondered if going and getting a defensive-minded piece like that was going to be, you know, the third star, so to speak, in this trio. And as you got deeper into the playoffs and as you got into these finals, his presence paid off in a big way, covering CP3, right? So it is like, again, all of these decisions that Milwaukee made, the way that we talk about the Nets, you know, about signing the big three, about getting the big three involved, about some of the little pieces, the Joe Harris's, the Dinwiddie's over the years, all these other guys. You can look at these and PJ Tucker, you can talk about Bobby Portis, right? You can talk about all these little pieces. Milwaukee made all the right moves to get to this point. So I this is that culmination beyond just Giannis. This is an organizational achievement that they did this, as you said, in a surprisingly large small market city that I just think it can't be overlooked, because it's easy from our internal perspective to look at the Nets and talk about the Nets. And then you can look around the league and see teams and organizations that don't do it so well. Milwaukee's been on a pretty steady rise to this position, but the last couple of years were all around this narrative of, are they blowing it, right? They have Giannis. Are the Bucks just never going to get the job done? Now they have. And it is a collective effort behind the superstar.
Yeah, and look, your basketball and like any sport is typically just a story of what ifs and things that happen. And the Bucks are like almost the perfect example of this, where, you know, you forget, like, they had that Bogdan Bogdanovic trade that didn't get pulled off because Bogdan was like, I don't know about that. Whoops. He's like, so, like, where he's kind of like, doesn't, you know, that I don't think it was all him. I think they kind of like got, there was like some signals crossed about the re-signing and tampering and all that stuff. And then, you know, there are Kevin Durant foot on the line from this Coach Bud being fired and this and Giannis maintaining the can't win at all thing, right? Like, that is literally the difference. And Drew Holiday called the series against the Nets draining, and you can tell why. And so, like, it's all these little what ifs that kind of happen along the year. Got a couple other things to talk about. Like you said, we're going to talk about Chris Paul. I got that embarrassing story to get to you. First, going to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar, the very best protein bar on the market, completely covered in chocolate, which is going to screw you up with the stats here in a little bit, because you see something covered in chocolate, you automatically think it's a dessert. Not the Built Bar, actually good for you. The stats are going to back it up, and the flavors, my goodness, mint brownie, salted caramel, German chocolate, cookies and cream. These aren't ice cream flavors, folks. This is an actual protein bar that's actually good for you. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories in that 130 to 180 range. That's the sweet spot, folks. Only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all super healthy. You can even specially order the grasshopper cookie right now. If you're a Thin Mint fan, that's going to be your jam. And also, the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team at the Olympics. Right now, you go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at built.com.
And of course, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Doug Norrie and myself have been debating. I said 6, he said 9. Turns out, from a parts standpoint, cars have a lot more. And that's why you want to head over to rockauto.com, where you can save time and money using their incredibly easy to navigate website. Why choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership when you can go to rockauto.com and get reliably low prices for the do-it-yourselfers like you and me? Rock Auto is a family business serving us for over 20 years. That's us, the do-it-yourselfers. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every single consumer, no matter who you are, and they have everything you could need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So I want to get into the Chris Paul piece, but just very quickly, one last footnote without going too negative. But I feel like this is one of those moments where you would say, Doug, this is an opinion that you can go ahead and take a minute to yourself, have a quiet thought, and choose not to use. This idea of the Milwaukee Bucks winning, and I'm sure this narrative, it was there all throughout the playoffs. It was about, we talk about the Nets. If the Lakers aren't there, is it going to be the same thing? Well, what if this team has injuries? You know, who are you going to beat? Well, they weren't at 100%, so it invalidates what they accomplished. The Milwaukee Bucks played the Heat. They played us, the Brooklyn Nets. They played every team that was in front of them between themselves and an NBA championship. They played the Atlanta Hawks to get to the finals, obviously, and then they beat the Phoenix Suns. That's it. Like, that's all that matters. And when you and I had talked about the asterisks of postseasons, of championships, I don't think they exist. Because while we may not have known that this was going to be the way these finals played out, and it was great and entertaining and interesting and exciting, it doesn't matter. Like, this is what sports is. This is what NBA championships are. You can't take it away when you go back and look at the little footnotes and try to nitpick it apart. No, the Milwaukee Bucks are champions of the NBA, and there's not going to be any type of storyline that you're going to be able to bring to me that says, yeah, but no, it's done. They're the champions. Accept that, and accept that every year going forward, whether or not it's your team.
And I think that the fact that Giannis was so good, honestly, is like a big, and that Phoenix was pretty healthy and they both teams were healthy, I think that is already gone. I think that storyline has already been pretty much taken care of. I think that there was just enough things sort of like went right, and just the game looked great, and you know, these like the intensity was high and all this other stuff, and then you know, obviously Giannis's performance was awesome. So I think all those pieces, where when you look back on it, I don't think the story will be that, you know, tons of other teams suffered injuries. I think that will, I do think Giannis being so good will be a part of that, right? Because like, you'll just look and say, look at these stats, dude. Like, what are you gonna, asterisk these? You know, you can't. Yeah. The stats are simply too good. Yeah, these weren't like, and right. In the end, you know, some of the games were less, maybe a little less aesthetically pleasing than you'd like to see. They were still exciting, they're still being played at such a high level that I think that, yeah, no, I think that part, I was a bigger piece of that than you were in terms of like all the injuries, but the fact that they got two teams that were relatively healthy into the finals and through it, I think that does 100% wipe that stuff away.
So then on the other side of it, the Phoenix Suns, CP3, we can even add Aiden, add Booker, right? These are young players that could have potentially been getting their first championship very early in their career. But I think CP3 is the big piece. I don't take anything away from him. I'm not in the camp of he came up short. No, like again, this is the results. You play your butt off and sometimes it doesn't work out for you. But I had the more specific beyond this series and beyond this season question for you of the foregone conclusion as you worked your way through the season and through these playoffs was obviously the Phoenix Suns are going to bring back CP3. You extend them. You don't worry about how big the number is. You have to do it. I think that if Phoenix had won the championship, it'd be very easy to say, yep, we're living on borrowed time. It really, the next couple of seasons won't matter as much. We'll try to repeat, but the last couple of years, it won't be that big a deal. We'll live with the results. We won. Because they didn't, and this isn't even a knock on Chris Paul, and because there's maybe some level of where he's at in his career, his age, that the season-long and playoff run fatigue factor may rear its head around him at times, do you think that there should be any hesitation or long-term perspective from the Phoenix Suns when deciding whether or not Chris Paul is going to be worth whatever that number may be? And I feel like it's an obvious answer. Maybe this is that softball question for Doug, but I do think it's at least worth asking, knowing that this is a big offseason decision for them.
Yeah, no, I think it's a pretty easy re-sign. I think you'll probably get into tricky stuff like later with the contract, maybe. I think he's shown enough this year that if you can sort of probably manage, because they didn't really manage his minutes at all during the season. He played almost every single game. And so I think you'll probably see a little bit more of that next season. I think you'll see him re-sign there. The team is still very good. They're probably not championship level if the entire league is healthy. So, but they're close.
If you're Chris Paul, do you want to re-sign there? Let me ask that then.
Yeah, I think
if you're Chris
will.
Paul, do you want to get somewhere? You know, like, are you still saying I do want a championship and Phoenix is a great ride, but I can look at probably five or six other teams that I'd be better suited to win with?
I do think the teams, I'm just eyeballing this, the teams with cap space that would be in a better situation than Suns, like, they don't really exist. So I think that...
What about the Dallas Mavericks?
That's interesting. I didn't think about that one.
Sorry. And I don't want to bog this down into what has been a fun and celebratory thing, but this, what is your stance on where Chris Paul is at? And do you think it's, you know, ride off into the sunset with Phoenix? Because this was a player who a year and a half ago, everyone was talking about the albatross nature of his contract and people were shooting down why the Knicks should never entertain bringing in a player at that age, at that number, et cetera, et cetera. And this dude reclamated what has been a Hall of Fame career that has seemingly had, by perception, bottomed out. and he brought himself right back to being one of the top point guards in the league. Like, his storyline is phenomenal. Even without the championship, it's almost insane what Chris Paul has been able to accomplish in one season with Phoenix.
Yeah, he did the same thing with OKC last year, by the way. Like, that team was supposed to, team was like trying to tank, and they just, like, they made it to the playoffs. And so, his story is great. It's not that. That's an interesting question. I don't think I have a good feel for it. I think before you kind of started mentioning that, I would have just said automatically he re-signs with the Suns. And I still probably do think that gives him the best chance, although the Dallas thing's interesting. I don't think, it's hard for me to see that happening, frankly, just by the way those two guys play. But I was, they did that with Harden and Chris Paul, so it's happened in the past. I know Luka's not Harden, but it's not so dissimilar in terms of like what they're trying to accomplish. That's interesting. I still think it's probably Phoenix. I think they have the easiest path to do it. Clearly, everyone loves him there. They did get to the right to the doorstep. I do think this, when it's all said and done, this will be his best chance to have won the championship. It's hard to imagine him getting back. And then, look, I wouldn't have put the Suns in this position before the season started, so. This is the great thing about basketball, is that it can kind of flip narratives on their heads pretty quickly. And the thing you thought you knew, yesterday, it doesn't take much to have it be totally wrong. So, yeah, like you said, I think that I probably wouldn't even have entertained Chris Paul to anywhere else. But now you got me thinking a little bit, because I'm not 100% sure. The Dallas thing kind of threw me off. I don't think that's going to happen, but it threw me off. At least, made me sidestep a little bit here.
There we go. I got him sidestepping. Listen, let's not bury the lead, friends. The Milwaukee Bucks won the championship. Congratulations to them. But let's get to this embarrassing story about Doug Norrie. I need the peace.
We got to get out of here. But this is I hesitated whether to tell this. So I watched the games on Sling, and I should file a class action lawsuit against Sling for doing this way. So I open up that, if you can't picture the Sling app, it's basically a television, a cord cutting television service, and the. But it gives you a tile view of what you can watch. Like, it doesn't give you you can go to a guide view, but if you open it up, it gives you tile views of all, like, and it gives a picture. And the top left picture on the search app was of, like, the Phoenix Suns and the Bucks. And I'm like, okay, here we go. It's the game. So 9 o'clock comes around. I'm like, man, this game started early. Like, it started on the Sling app, it started at 9:01. And I'm like, huh. I was like, of all nights, this is the game. They just start right away, like, no pregame, like, nothing else. Okay. I'm not going to tell you, and I was saying things like, I'm like, man, there's a lot of Phoenix guys at this, a lot of Phoenix, big Phoenix crowd at this Bucks game.
No.
I was like, and I was, dude, but this is, I'm going to tell you right now, I was with someone else. Like, so it's like, and this was the biggest cognitive dissonance thing in the entire world, where it's like, there's things like, oh, I'm watching the completely wrong thing, but because I think I'm watching the right thing, like, right. I am telling myself all these different stories about it. You know what I mean? And so, like, I'm like, man, there's a lot of Phoenix fans. Like, they really travel well in Milwaukee. I watched, like, a not insignificant amount of this game before we realized. Like, it took a play. I can't remember what the play was, but one of us, like, I was like, that same thing happened last game. Like, that's crazy.
Right, a very unique and standout moment. You're like, God, this the game.
Yeah, it was like a chase down block. I mean, this was like kind of into the game. I guess this is why it's embarrassing. Like, there was, and so.
And at least you're in the boat together with a friend, though, right? At least you're in the boat together with a friend.
Well, yeah. And so I was like, it's like the big Suns. This is what I mean about dissonance. Like, this is where your brain, it's more of what's fascinating about, it's a total L for me, and I look like a total fool for it. And I ended up watching the whole game because I realized it before the actual game started. So, like, whatever. But the part where your brain can just trick you, if you believe, this is where you, like, just can't, if you believe something, like, you have to really take a step back and look at stuff, because what you believe based on something you made up in your head can, like, so many things can be wrong about it and you'll still believe it. Like, it's really, I get it's me, but it's like a fascinating look at, like, I believe I'm watching
the human
game
mind,
six.
Man. What the mind can convince you of if you believe that this is what's happening.
Yeah, like, I believe I'm watching game six. Therefore, all the things that are telling me that this is wrong, like, it's the Suns logo. It's the Suns logo on the middle of the court, right?
Like, God, I never seen them put the away team's logo on the home team's court in the finals game. That's interesting.
It's a crowd filled with Phoenix fans, like, that I've now explained away as they travel well. So anyway, it didn't last forever.
The announcers are welcoming you to the Suns home arena. It's odd what these guys are doing over. I don't understand
that was the one thing. that was the one thing, because it was a replay, they didn't do any of the pregame. They just went right into the game. That's what I mean about, right. Like, it was like 9 o'clock and it just started. So anyway, bad look for me. I figured it out in the end, but I got to watch the game. But anyway, watch your brains, folks. They even something that's working on a level like my brain. Look, there's misfires that happen. And at least I had a friend along for the ride, so I didn't feel like the world's biggest donkey, only tied for the world's biggest donkey at this point. Okay, we're going to get out of here. Like I said, Locker Room will be on there Thursday at 6 p.m. Got a cool guest, hopefully talking numbers, so be sure to check that out as well. So Locker Room on Thursday, cool guest tomorrow, and rate and review the podcast wherever you listen.
And this is why you stay the course, friends. I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. Mike Jordan.
Oh, one of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.